In the same way, it said, you wives, now this we're talking about Mary and his sister, so in the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands, even those who refuse to accept the good news. Your godly lives will speak to them better than any words. Uh-oh. Ooh. I heard a lot of women say, ooh, when I say that. I didn't say that. That's in the book. I'm just a mouthpiece. Y'all don't stone me now. You know, I mean, I didn't write the book. God wrote the book. He said, your godly lives will speak to them better than any words. They will be won over, it said, by watching your pure godly behavior. Now, see, this is why a lot of women have a lot of problems and a lot of sickness and disease, because they will not submit to the authority of their husband. They try to run the show. And God, He's no respecter of persons. If you don't let your husband run the show, it's going to bring problems into your life. Let's go to the next verse, number 3 and 4. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty that depends on fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. Now, that's what most women are involved in. You should be known for the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Now, what does God think about a woman that's got that gentle, quiet spirit? It's precious to Him. He don't care what you look like physically. You don't have to be a Playboy bunny knockout to be pleasing to God. It's the heart He looks at. The flesh counts for nothing with God. Don't count for nothing. It's that quiet, gentle spirit that He's interested in. And then let's see what verse 5 and 6 says. That is the way the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham when she called him her master. The King James says she called him Lord. I might ask, when's the last time some of you women called your husband Lord? Mine calls me Lord every once in a while. Whenever I don't do exactly what she wants, she says, yes, Lord. I can tell that's not exactly what God meant. She don't do that very often. I'm just kidding. Here a while back, there was an older lady, you know, one of these 60 or 70-year-old, one of these old women, you know. Yeah, watch out now. Yeah, one of these older ladies, she was between in her 60s, and she come to me, and she was having a problem with her husband. She wanted me to pray for her husband. And as we talked, I told her, I said, I think, ma'am, you're the problem and not your husband. And I told her, I said, have you called your husband Lord lately? And she said, no, I've not called him Lord. I said, well, do you want things to change at your house? She said, well, that's why I'm up here. I said, do you go home tonight and you walk in and you grab your husband? I said, what do you think he's going to be doing? He said, oh, he'll be sitting there watching that stupid television set. I said, well, when you get there, walk in and walk up to him and tell him to stand up. Well, he said, what for? I said, just stand up. And so, okay, you get down, help him stand up. He stands up. I said, embrace him like you haven't done since you were 20 years old. I said, just really plant one on him. And then after you really plant one on him, say, honey, I just want to tell you how much I love you. I want to tell you how grateful I am that you've worked so hard all these years to provide for me and the children, provide us a house and a car and food and everything. I just don't tell you thank you often enough. I just want to tell you how much I love you. And I want to tell you that you're my master. You're my Lord. I want to tell you I'll submit to you. And what would you like for dinner tonight? I'll fix your favorite dinner. I said, what do you think is going to happen? She said, after he passes out and I pick him up, she said, I don't know what will happen. I said, so you think that would shock him? She said, it would shock him and me both. I said, why don't you try that? That's what God told you to do. Is that what he said? He said, call your husband Lord. And he said, if you do that, you are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husband might do. Isn't that something? Verse 7 and 8. Let's go on down. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. treat her, your wife, with understanding as you live together. Now, there was a lady in Georgia just last week that said something. She stood up and said, I'd like to make a statement here. I'd like for these women to know that they live with their husbands according, or husbands, she said, live with your wives according to understanding and hormones. She said, I said, well, I understand what you're meaning there. I don't know how many of these people understand it. But she's quoting this verse, treat her with understanding as you live together. She may be a weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. If you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. So when a man doesn't love his wife and treat her like a lady, what's his chances of getting to the throne of grace? Zero. He said your prayer will not be heard. So when you go to pray for someone, for something, if you're not totally in obedience to God's word, and a lot of men don't know these things, so they don't treat their wife with love and respect. And so that's why they can't get their prayers answered. God said he will not hear your prayer. And if you keep treating her without that love and respect, eventually he's not only not going to hear your prayer, but he's going to bring sickness and disease upon you. He's telling you to love your wife. Just think. He said, love your wife. He told you to submit to your husband. If we do not do those things, and God continues to tell us to do these kind of things, and he tells us over and over again to do these things, and we don't obey him. Do you remember a while ago we read in Job 33:19 that if you don't listen when he talks, he will bring sickness and pain into your body? Did y'all read that a while ago? You remember that? God will discipline you with sickness and pain. Do you remember when I read that?
Yes.
Do you want God to discipline you with sickness and pain?
No.
No, I don't either. So I'm going to love this girl down here on the front row. I mean, I'm going to treat her with love.
Amen.
I'm going to try to treat her so many ways she's got to like one or two of them. I hope she likes all of them. Finally, it says here, all of you should be of one mind, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. Now, if you want to walk in divine health, that'll make it work for you. Verse 9 and 10. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate when people say unkind things about you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God wants you to do, and he will bless you for it. Now, you want to pay people back with a blessing? What's he going to do if you do that? He's going to bless your socks off, isn't he, Lisa? Do you like to be blessed, girl?
Yes, I do.
I never seen a woman that didn't like to be blessed. I never seen a man that didn't like to be blessed. We like to be blessed. For the Scripture says in verse 10, if you want a happy life in good days. Now, who wants that? Do we want to walk in divine health? Sure. If you want a happy life and good days, you must keep your tongue from speaking evil. In other words, no grumbling and complaining. Is your tongue important? Is it important to your health? Very. Keep your tongue from speaking evil and keep your lips from telling lies. Got a question right here. Okay, brother.
Yes, there's been a lot of divorce in my family. And I was wondering, you know, like I have 9 children, 4 of them are right now in divorce.
Wow.
And I'm wondering, you know, how does God deal with that?
Well, of course, he hates divorce. We know what he says about divorce. And we know what causes divorce. It's when two people are not in God's Word. You take people that get out of God's Word, it will bring divorce because people don't study God's Word. And isn't it amazing how you can ever wonder to see a man and a woman when they're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, and they fall madly in love with each other, and they think they can't live without each other, and they get married, and 6 months later, this woman that couldn't, she loved this guy so much she could have just eat him up the first night they got married, and 6 months later, she wished she had have eat him up. She wants to spit him out. Now, you ever wonder how that happens? Have you ever seen things like that? Maybe you've been married to one of those kind of guys. What was the problem? Well, neither one of them in the Word of God. Well, neither one of them obedient to God's Word. I mean, they don't obey God's Word. If you don't obey God's word, it's going to bring sickness and disease and pain in your life. Now, if you repent of those sins and get back in the word of God, you will go through life with no divorce in your family, no sickness and disease in your family. But you have to get in God's word and study it and put Him first. And you got to believe the word. Now, to prove that to you, let's go to Matthew 8, 16 and 17. And I want to show you something right here that I read this many a time before this actually made sense to me. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. All the spirits fled when He commanded them to leave, and He healed all the sick. Now, that's awesome, isn't it? This fulfilled the word of the Lord through Isaiah, who said, He took our sickness and removed our disease.
Amen.
Now, why in the world do we have a promise like that? If He took our sickness and removed our disease, then why is so many people in the church have some kind of sickness and disease? Lack of knowledge. You don't know it. You don't know it. You don't know it's yours. You don't know how to take away from the enemy what belongs to you. You're in a battle. The enemy comes upon you and puts a pain in you. What do you do? Oh, I feel so bad today. I'm sick. I need to go to the doctor. Do you ever hear people talk like that? All the time? I found out the best doctor in the world. I got Him, don't you, Brother Jim? Amen. The best doctor in the world is Jesus. Now, of course, for those of you that have heard the testimony about Caitlin and Kelly, how many of you have heard the testimony about Caitlin, about how God raised her up from the dead? I mean, He done an awesome work on that little girl. I mean, after all, when the doctor tells you, I'm sorry, it's over. And it's the finest doctors in Cook's Medical Center. I'm sorry, your little granddaughter is going to decease any second. She cannot live. Her brain stem severed. Her eyes are jerked out of her brain. Her skull is crushed in five places. All the bones around her eyes are all crushed. Lungs crushed. Right knee crushed. Left leg broken in two places. Impossible. The pressure on her brain's 20. It should be 3. And she's going to decease any second. Now, what does most people say when they're told that by a fine doctor? It's just a matter of time.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.